Blog Talk Radio.
Let's face it, there's a lot you don't know about sickle cell disease.
Like that it affects millions.
People in almost all races.
Black and white.
Indian and Asian.
Hispanic and Mediterranean.
And that it can affect you or someone you love.
No matter where you come from.
Let's face it, there's a lot you don't know about sickle cell disease.
And that's a disease too. Call the 211 info line to learn more.
Good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for waking up this beautiful morning here in Philadelphia, or if you're in Florida, you're in California, Atlanta, Colorado, Canada, Africa, Europe. I want to say thank you so much for all of your listeners for tuning in. I want to take a moment before I actually begin the show today. Today is 9/11, and for those of us in the U.S. and around the globe, you're aware of that significant date and the many people that we lost. Friends, family members, firefighters, policemen, rescue workers, ER staff, all kinds of people that unfortunately are no longer with us because of what happened on 9/11. So I just want to pause for a second of silence for the people we lost on 9/11. Again, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I was just pausing for those of you who might have just tuned in. For the people we lost on 9/11, I don't think we'll ever forget that day. I know I won't. I have friends in New York, and I remember trying frantically to call them. I remember panicking about my daughter. I had only been at a new job for a couple of days or so, maybe a week, and I remember being in the conference room. Somebody said, oh, a plane, you know, flew into the towers. And people were like, oh, okay, wow, that's just crazy. And it kept the meeting going. And then 10, 15 minutes later, another plane. And then we were like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? So I think, though, that the country has moved ahead. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of controversy recently, the Quran burning and all types of crazy things going on. But for the most part, I think that we as a country have definitely moved ahead. But today I'm going to be speaking about a very important issue, sickle cell anemia. I was just telling my guest before we started the show that I remember learning about sickle cell when I was younger, when I was a kid. But now I'm not a kid anymore. I won't say exactly how old I am, but and I never heard anything again about it. And for the show, I'm always doing things. I want to educate people, educate myself about lots of different topics and areas of importance. And I said, wow, sickle cell anemia awareness month. Sickle cell, wow, I haven't heard about that in eons. And then as I started, you know, working on the show, you know, looking for guests and things of that nature, I started meeting people. This woman, her brother had sickle cell. It was just amazing. So I think it's so important. And this morning I have a wonderful guest. She's a COO of the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America. Her name is Sonia Banks. She's the newly elected president and COO. And you told me you've only been there how long?
I've only been here 3 months.
3 months. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for calling in this morning and sharing all your knowledge with the audience about this illness. Now, let me tell the audience, based on the CDC, 70 to 100,000 United States citizens have sickle cell. One out of every 500 African Americans have it. One out of every 36,000 Hispanic American births are affected by sickle cell. And as the PSA I played earlier, a lot of people just think, oh, only African Americans, but that's not the case. Sonia, tell us about that a little bit, that not only African Americans are affected by sickle cell anemia.
Yes. Well, of course, in the United States, it is a predominantly African-American disease, but as you read out, we do have an influx of Hispanics in the United States with it. Sickle cell disease actually came from or derived from countries where there was a high incidence of malaria. So you're going to look at those countries that are kind of your Mediterranean countries or your Saharan countries. but it's very prevalent in Africa and very prevalent in those Western, in the Western Hemisphere. And when I say that, I mean, you know, your countries like Saudi Arabia, India, Turkey, Greece, Italy. So you have a high influx of individuals with sickle cell that are not African American, but maybe have some type of African descent.
Hold on a second. I think we have Dr. Jordan on the line.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you so much, yes. Dr. Jordan.
Yes.
Just for the audience, this is Dr. Lynette Jordan. She's the CMO of the Sickle Cell Association, and thank you so much. I know you're on call, I was told, by Sonia.
Yes, I was actually trying to call in, so I finally got through.
Okay, great. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to share your knowledge this morning. We were just discussing who is affected by sickle cell and that the myth of only African Americans, and Sonia was explaining a little bit about people from Mediterranean areas and high prevalence of malaria in certain areas. Could you tell us a little bit more about where sickle cell started or came from and how it came about in the U.S.?
Yes, as the president and COO stated, you know, from those countries where malaria was most prevalent. So we see, certainly from the transatlantic, you know, migration, how sickle cell had a great impact in the United States. But from the western areas, you know, we have the west coast of Ghana, for example, Saudi Arabia, Italy, all of those places, India, where there was an influx of malaria. And so those individuals were at high risk for having sickle cell trait and then sickle cell disease. Sickle cell trait, oddly enough, was considered and still is considered to have some immunity effects against malaria. So it's actually very advantageous to have sickle cell trait to be a carrier in those countries even today.
Wow, that's so interesting. And one of the real interesting things you were mentioning, Italy, places that people just don't, again, it's a stereotype of who has sickle cell trait and all these things. So I'm really glad that you guys are sharing this knowledge this morning. Now, Sonia, again, for those of you just tuning in, we're speaking with the CMO and COO of the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America. If you have any questions, you can call 646-929-0368 and press the number 1 to ask a question of our guest. Now, Sonia, how long has the association been around? Since 1970s or so, correct?
Yes. It's now over 35 years, and I think we're hitting our 40th anniversary next year.
That's wonderful. So the founder, now, was he and his family or anything affected by sickle cell? How did he decide to start the organization?
I'll defer to Dr. Jordan with for that also, because I know that Dr. Whitten was very influential in starting the National Association. And I'm not for sure, Dr. Jordan, did he have sickle cell disease?
No. He's actually was a pediatric hematologist and out of Chicago started a newborn screening program there and had a tremendous impact along with other individuals for spreading newborn screening for sickle cell disease. But his major impact was certainly in his hometown and where he practiced of Chicago. There was actually another sickle cell disease organization out in California, which is still in existence. And the organization started in California and then moved over to the East Coast, I think within the last maybe 5 years. But Dr. Whitten, you know, took the education and screening component nationally and started the Sickle Cell Association, which then became the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America.
That's wonderful. I'm very glad that he did that. Now, Dr. Jordan, I want to bring in some of your technical knowledge here. There are different types of sickle cell, sickle cell hemoglobin, sickle cell beta plus. Can you tell us about those different types of sickle cell?
Yeah, so they and we refer to those generally as sickle cell or hemoglobinopathy variants. So the variants primarily come from the different regions of the country for which you know those variants originated. So for example, from Ghana, we usually see hemoglobin SS. for the Mediterranean, where you have the thalassemia, you'll see the sickle cell beta thalassemia, or also thalassemia major, also from those areas. We see sickle cell SC disease. SC is typically found in the Caribbean population. We have alpha thalassemia variant, and we see most of those variants from Asian countries. So California, for example, has the highest incidence and prevalence of those particular genotypes. So sometimes, you know, we do see different health outcomes associated with a certain type of hemoglobin variant. So, for example, with SC disease, you may see more eye disease, more joint disease called avascular necrosis. With some of the thalassemias, you may see more strokes. So it does sort of give us an idea of what type of long-term outcomes to expect by looking at the genotype. But anything can happen in any of them, but we do see higher prevalence of some of those health outcomes related to specific genotypes.
Wow, that's just amazing, because I only knew of one. I mean, when I thought sickle cell, I just was like, yeah, sickle cell anemia, and that was it, and I had no other knowledge. Again, just doing the podcast, it helps enlighten myself, but I also hope that it enlightens others around the country. Now, Sonia, you're having a convention coming up September 21st to 24th in Washington, correct?
Yes, we are. It's going to be held at the Gaylord International, and it's our 38th annual convention. And the theme
who can attend the convention?
Well, anyone can attend. The convention is open to the public. It's a very educational, very inspirational time for us. It is a time for people to come and learn more about the disease. It's a time for people to come and network and fellowship. And we have patients that are there. We have family members. We have physicians and researchers. So it's really open to anyone that wants to come and learn about sickle cell disease and how to join in our fight against this disease.
And, again, the dates for the convention are September 21st to 24th. It's at the Gaylord National Hotel and Conference Center in Washington, D.C. And I put the website on my page, and it's sicklecelldisease.org. Again, that's sicklecelldisease.org. You can learn more by going to their website about the conference. Now, you have support groups around the country, Sonia, for members, or you work with other organizations around the country. How would somebody find out? Is there a 1-800 number for people to call to find out information about a group in their area?
Yes, actually, you can call our office, which is the national office, and we will actually put you in touch with one of our member organizations. We actually have over 50 member organizations throughout the United States, and that is really why we were founded, to help strengthen those organizations, because they're really on the forefront of I'm sorry.
I think we kind of lost it. I was losing you. I couldn't hear you very well.
Okay.
But you were saying, yeah, you have more than 50 organizations that you work with around the country. And again, I just want to let the listeners know, on the website, sicklecelldisease.org, they do have a map that shows all the different sites. And the 1-800, there's a 1-800 number that, Sonia, can they call that number?
Yes, yes, they can call that number that's on the website, or they can call us locally. It's totally up to them. But we are very, very open to them giving us a call. Or they can call wherever they feel like they're closest to when they look at that map, call one of our local members to actually call for information. And our members offer everything from testing, screening, and support groups. They have an array of services for patients, for consumers, and family members.
Dr. Jordan, now, one of the things you mentioned is that there's a person that has a trait, actually might have a defense against malaria. Now, how do you find out whether you have a sickle cell trait? What is the test? I believe it's a long name, electrophoresis, but I don't want to say it the wrong way, so you tell the audience.
Yes, yes, it's a hemoglobin electrophoresis.
Okay.
And it's a simple blood test, has a complicated name, but it's a regular blood test as you would go and check for your hemoglobin. So, a small tube of blood is taken, and in the reference lab they run this particular test. There's another test that has been used in the past called the Sickle Dex, but that is not the test you want. You want to always make sure that you get a hemoglobin electrophoresis test, because that actually will let you know the different variants of hemoglobin. So that is
now, do you know, is that an issue in terms of people? A lot of people don't have health insurance, so they have minimal. Is that something that might be covered? Is it considered preventative,
well,
or is that specialized? Are you aware of any of those issues?
So, well, now in the United States, we have universal screening for all newborns. Now, certainly if you're not a newborn, you're going to fall outside of that, so I'll address some of those insurance issues that you just mentioned. But in terms of newborns, all individuals born in the United States now will be screened for sickle cell disease as well as other genetic diseases that occur in newborns. So if you have sickle cell, any type of sickle cell disease, or even if you are a carrier, you are notified by your either the health department or your primary care provider who will be able to provide additional counseling and can screen the entire family, you know, for sickle cell trait or other hemoglobinopathy variants. If you are
now, would you
adult,
suggest that couples get – yeah, if you're an adult and you say you were interested in having children – would you suggest that all people who are interested in having children before they do actually get a test for sickle cell disease?
Yes, that certainly is a suggestion. And because we do see cases where, for example, a child may have sickle cell trait, say the first baby. The second baby, you know, may have sickle cell trait. The third baby may have normal hemoglobin, and the fourth baby will have sickle cell disease. And parents are really confused and not understanding how this occurred. So if both parents have trait, with each pregnancy, you have the likelihood of having a child with normal hemoglobin, 25%, sickle cell hemoglobin, 25%, and sickle cell trait, 50%. And this can happen, you know, with each pregnancy when both parents are carriers. So it is important to know who has sickle cell trait, not, you know, to, you know, prevent or anything like that, but just for information and to know your risk of having a child with any type of hemoglobinopathy so that you can properly plan.
Oh, that's wonderful because, yeah, a lot of times people, like you said, are just blindsided, like, what? I mean, trait, disease, what's the difference? You know, I don't know what that means, and how come two of my kids have it and other doesn't? So I think that's so important. Now, Sonia, you guys are a nonprofit organization, so you are accepting donations. So if you're listening this morning, please reach out to the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America. Now, what are the different how do you use money for research? Do you have grants for physicians, such as, like, say, Dr. Jordan, or who's a somebody who's a doctor or a scientist? Do you help them as well as the general public?
Well, actually, let me go back, because Dr. Jordan is very wonderful, and she is a volunteer. she's medical officer, and she has done a great job and continues to do a wonderful job at really, really allowing us or helping us to get the access we need to fight this disease. But we do. We have several different scholarship programs that will allow for individuals who are interested, one particularly in research, to apply for our scholarship. And then we have some undergraduate scholarships. The rest of this funding actually comes through some of our federal appropriations, which is what we actually do on the forefront is we advocate for monies to come out of the federal government to be put into some of the agencies to do research, to actually raise awareness or have programs. So although SCDA doesn't directly get the money, we make sure that the agencies such as the Center for Disease Control or the Department of Health, HRSA, NIH, to basically get those funds to do the research, to possibly help push along for us to have more hematologists. I think there's a shortage, and Dr. Jordan, you can chime in at any time. There's a shortage of hematologists and particularly a shortage of doctors who really understand sickle cell disease. And that is one thing that we're very, very concerned about. So when you actually give to SCDAA, what you're supporting are the member organizations that are on the forefront and, again, actually rendering the services. And you're also supporting us in advocating for more appropriations to come out of the federal government, of course, for research and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful because, like you said, there's a shortage. Dr. Jordan, now we're talking about who has it, where it came from. Now, if you do have it, your child, you find out your child has sickle cell disease and not just a trait, what are some of the things that steps that you can take to help with the pain? I know there's a lot of pain involved. And why is there pain involved? Please explain to the audience about why the people who have sickle cell have so much pain at different times.
Right. So in terms of treatment, if you're born with sickle cell disease, there's an excellent system of care for newborns. The state health departments work with the primary care providers for those patients, as well as the local health department. They usually have a specific department that helps follow these children. So those children are ensured that they have appointments with pediatric hematologists, oncologists, or primary pediatricians, that they're on penicillin prophylaxis to prevent infections. And so that system of care is very well intact and very well implemented.
You said infections. Why would they get infections? Why are they more susceptible to infections?
So in the mid-80s, there was a clinical trial that was conducted through the National Institutes of Health, which actually was led by Dr. Marilyn Gaston. And most of the children that died in the 70s, most individuals with sickle cell disease primarily did not live past the age of 14. And the cause of death was secondary to infections. And so there was a clinical trial in which penicillin was used prophylactically to see if infections could be done away with. And what the trial did show was that the use of penicillin markedly reduced infections, and we saw the lifespan increase tremendously. The trial was actually discontinued because the results were so outstanding that it was unethical, to continue to enroll children in the trial because we certainly knew that the results worked. So because of that, all newborns are now placed on penicillin prophylaxis.
There's some people who are allergic to penicillin. I myself am allergic to penicillin. So what would you do in the case child?
There's an alternative. So they have alternative, medications if you are allergic to penicillin.
Okay, good.
And then you get your booster shots. But this has been a tremendous plus for individuals to get rid of those infections and keep those children alive. So there are programs in place now implemented through Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, with newborn screening to ensure that within a certain period of time after birth, one, there's a confirmatory test done for sickle cell disease for those who screen positive that they do have sickle cell disease, and also within a certain period of time, they have made connection with the primary care physician, and they've been begun on penicillin prophylaxis.
Now, is that a lifelong? How long would they be on the penicillin? How long would that be?
Usually up until the age of 5, but then they'll have boosters.
Okay.
And in adolescence, they typically will start pneumococcal vaccinations, and those usually occur every 5 years. And we like to continue those also into adulthood. So adults should have the pneumococcal vaccination every 5 years, in addition to the flu vaccine every year. So we're heading into flu season, so we, always increase our efforts to encourage vaccinations.
Well, that's wonderful. One of the things I want to mention, Sonia, on your website for the organization, you guys are also, people can purchase pens, mugs, magnets, all types of items to help increase awareness about sickle cell disease. And the funding goes right back to you to help organizations nationwide. Is that correct?
Yes, it does. And I want to encourage people to call in to get our catalog. We actually have a brand new catalog that's not on that site yet because we're actually revamping our website. And so you'll see a whole new look and feel. And I think our information will be more accessible in the month of October, which is when we will launch nationally our new website. But in the meantime, you can call the 1-800 number, which I didn't give you before, but it is 1-800-421-8453. And I'll say it again, 1-800-421-8453. And we can either email you a catalog or fax you a catalog. And again, you will see all of the different products that we have. And particularly this month, because this is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month, we encourage individuals to look on those things and possibly purchase just to represent us and raise awareness, like you said earlier today, Joy, that we have to get the word out about this disease, and we don't want people to forget about it because it does exist, and it does affect a lot of people and a lot of lives.
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, and we only have a couple minutes left of the show, but I myself, I remember hearing about sickle cell when I was younger. I mean, like a small kid, elementary school. But after that, to be honest, as an adult, teenager, I don't remember ever hearing anything about it. And I really need to speak with my daughter and know if she even knows anything about it. And to be honest, I don't know if she was tested when she was a baby. I mean, she's 16 now, so I guess she's okay. But, you know, it's just amazing. What'd you say?
If she's 16, she would have been tested. Well, depending on the
she would have been tested. Okay.
Depending on
yes. So, but that's something. I mean, you know, I think I'm a pretty informed person, but again, there's just so much in the world. So, I want to thank Dr. Jordan and thank Ms. Banks for coming on the show this morning and sharing all your knowledge. And again, please share the 1-800 number again, Sonia, to the audience.
Yes, it's 1-800-421-8453. And
so you guys
can
reach out and call them.
Yes, or look at our website, or we're also on Facebook, so you can actually, our sickle cell Facebook is SCDAA, so either of those ways you can connect with us so that we can keep you informed.
Well, thank you again so much, and everybody, please reach out to the organization. Again, you can purchase some items to help increase the awareness. You can go to their website, and they are have a whole map there for the whole entire country, and you can reach out to them, but they'll connect you with someone close to you in your area. So thank you so much, Dr. Jordan, and thank you, Ms. Banks, for coming on this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening this morning and learning about sickle cell anemia. This month is Sickle Cell Anemia Awareness Month, so please inform yourselves about this issue. You may know somebody who's about to have a baby. You may know someone who's interested in having a child, a couple. So please reach out to them to make sure that they get tested to see maybe they have the trait. Doesn't mean they can't have children, but they definitely need to be aware of the risk involved if they do have a trait, one partner has it, or both have it. SickleCellDisease.org is the website. I'll be doing a second show this morning at 11:30, suicide prevention, a very serious issue. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, suicide, like, oh, horrible, how could somebody do that? But you know what? You never know what can happen in your life. You don't know where you're going to be in your life, and sometimes things creep up on you. Or you might know someone who is at risk for committing suicide. So you need to listen to the second half of this morning's show, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. So I'll be back in about a minute with the second half of this morning talking about suicide prevention, I think a very important issue.
Let's face it. There's a lot you don't know about sickle cell disease.
That it's not contagious.
It's hereditary.
That it can be unbearable.
That you could have the gene that passes it on to your children.
But not even know it.
And that there's a simple test so you can know it.
Let's face it, there's a lot you don't know about sickle cell disease.
And that's a disease too. Call the 211 info line to learn more.